So moving into our next topic, you look at the ACC and the Big Ten, and before the season started, there were some pretty clear favorites in both of these conferences. The ACC, you had Florida State was pretty much unanimously the favorite to win the ACC. And then you could argue Virginia Tech and Miami as both betting options and general popular picks among quote-unquote experts across the board. That was the ACC top three. And then the Big Ten, you have Wisconsin, who is right there. Sure. They certainly have lived up to expectations. Nebraska, we'll still see where they end up. They have the tough loss to Wisconsin, but again, that's Wisconsin being very good. Teams like Ohio State that have totally fallen off the map. But it's not just those teams in these conferences. All of a sudden, we have these other teams that are a bit of a surprise, that are off to undefeated starts, that may end up at the top of these conferences when it's all said and done.
Absolutely. And I, you know, if you start with the ACC, I don't see any reason that we shouldn't now be talking about Clemson. And the reason is we've chosen the right week to start talking about them because Clemson did something this past weekend that they haven't done since 1989, and that's beat Virginia Tech. They haven't beaten Virginia Tech since the Berlin Wall was still up. And they haven't won the ACC since 1991. So at what point, not only did they beat Virginia Tech, they beat them 23-3.
In Virginia Tech.
In Blacksburg, held them to 3 points, an unbelievable coming out party for a team that needed to beat, to get over that hump to compete in the ACC this year. And what's amazing to me is Taj Boyd didn't even play that well. He was 13 of 32.
No, and in the first half, he was terrible.
Terrible. And you know, what happened is they got the big plays when they needed them. They have what I now believe, as we've seen, you know, I've talked a lot about receivers this year, and I think it's time to add a new wide receiver to our list. A freshman phenom named Sammy Watkins, who I see no reason not to put him now in the top echelon of these great receivers, and he's been a game changer. He was a game changer again this week. They've got the best NFL tight end prospect in America in Dwayne Allen. And I now look at this team in Clemson and what Dabo Swinney has them believing they can do. Getting a win like that on the road and what they have moving forward. They still have some road tests against Georgia Tech and at South Carolina and, of course, an ACC title game. But count me now as a believer for them.
Yeah, and Watkins has totally lived up to the hype. You have to give this kid a ton of respect, like, as you are. I also want to give respect not only to Dabo Swinney, who, like you said, has this team playing another level, but offensive coordinator Chad Morris from Tulsa. This is yet another guy that comes out of this creative Tulsa offense and brings his show on the road. Incredible turn of events for a Clemson team that hasn't been bad on offense over the years, but they're playing at another level. And the confidence, a game like this against Virginia Tech, where they're having a really bad start, would have been the type of game that they might have fallen apart in the past, but they had confidence on offense, they made some second-half adjustments, and they cruised in the second half.
Well, they've always had so much talent. This team's always recruited well, but for some reason during the season, they can't put it together. Things like this, something like what happened this week against Virginia Tech, is what this program needed to start to feel like it's ready to make the next step.
And arguably their biggest contender at this point is Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, this is a team that was picked to finish fourth in the ACC Coastal Division. Fourth in the ACC Coastal. And now they're ranked 13th in the country at 5-0. They lead the nation in rushing. They're second in scoring. You know, everyone has an opinion on the triple option offense. A lot of opinions are negative. Paul Johnson had it at Navy. He has it at Georgia Tech. Some people don't believe in a major conference that it can work week in and week out. What I think you're seeing is that this offense is being run to perfection right now because all of a sudden, teams have to respect Tech's ability to throw out of the option.
Yep.
And what you've seen out of quarterback Tevin Washington is that he's thrown for 10 touchdowns and one interception. And he's also managed the triple option part of this to perfection. So now, what are teams going to do to prepare for both the pass and the run?
Yeah, 51.6 points a game.
Right.
378 yards on the ground a game. And like you said, if you load the box, if you put 8 or 9 guys in the box, you're still going to have trouble stopping this triple option because it's hard to read. Well, that's what makes it so difficult.
Yeah.
And then if you add a passing element to that, I'm not going to throw the word impossible around, but if you're not one of these Alabama LSU type of defenses, you don't have the talent on the field to keep up with an offense like
maybe
this.
If you have a month to prepare for it, you can. But in the season, when teams are playing the same type of offenses week in and week out, to have to prepare in a short week for this kind of offense is crazy.
Not going
to
happen.
And the other thing about this Georgia Tech team that you have to love is they get Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Georgia all at home. So the road runs through Bobby Dodd Stadium in the ACC in many ways. And I think that you really have to look out if this team continues to grow and develop for them at the end of the year as well.
At Miami is the only true tough road game they have left, and I think that's one that they win.
Yeah.
I don't see them losing that game. Not that they couldn't, but I don't see them losing it. That Clemson game is going to be an awesome game, and that, of course, is one of two big road tests left for Clemson, the other one being the South Carolina game at the end of the season. But it is interesting that both of these teams have that big SEC game at the end of the season against South Carolina and Georgia that could potentially be a perfect season spoiler, because I think at this point both of these teams have a realistic shot of going undefeated. Whoever it is that wins that Georgia Tech-Clemson game could end up being an undefeated team and could end up needing a little consideration for that national championship spot against the SEC.
Yeah, depending on what happens, it could happen.
And similarly, you've got a couple teams in the Big Ten that have the schedule and have the starts to start getting into these talks, and we'll start with Michigan.
Well, Michigan, you know, when I look at this Michigan team, the difference to me is the fact that last season, Michigan finished 110th in the country in defense. And so for many, that was the reason that they fell apart last season. You come into this year, and defensive coordinator Greg Madison has made a concerted effort to get his unit to limit the big plays. Big plays killed this team last year. And so far, in five games, he has been effective in getting this team to hold the opposition inside the middle of the field, and when they get into the 20s, there isn't much that they're doing. I mean, if you look, four out of the five teams have been held at 10 points or less, with the lone exception being Notre Dame, and in that game even, the longest play they gave up was 38 yards. So that is the difference to me. We talk a lot about Denard Robinson and Brady Hoke, but I look at the Michigan defense, and I'm starting to believe maybe they've turned a corner.
Brady Hoke was saying that one of the reasons he wanted to instill a pro-style offense was so that his defense could play against one in practice.
Right.
Now, you essentially, once the game starts, Denard Robinson just goes nuts and you throw the pro-style offense out the window.
Yeah.
Maybe it is just working as a practice tool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the concern with Denard Robinson in the past has been, as electrifying as he is, he has turned the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turn the ball over, your defense is right back on the field, and it contributed a lot last year. You know, I know it's a little battle, but last week, Denard Robinson didn't have an interception. And against lesser competition, that's still okay with me, because you want to see that out of him every week. You want to see those zero interception games continue to pile on, because it's going to help the defense. They're continuing to get better at running the ball conventionally, and then you know Denard Robinson's good for 5-10 big plays a game.
Yeah, you're willing to accept when he's going to throw a ball deep down the field in one-on-one coverage and gets intercepted,
right,
and it's essentially the same as a punt. You're willing to accept those. It's the bad decisions and the fumbles that you can't have,
right,
and he has cut back considerably on those. And like you said, he's just a big play machine. He's good for 14 to 21 points a game,
yeah,
just on crazy big plays. So if the defense is holding teams, this team could really do some damage.
Yeah.
I'm looking ahead at their schedule. They've got at Michigan State. That'll be a very interesting game. At Illinois, the other team we have to talk about here. And then they get Nebraska and Ohio State at home. They can beat Ohio State at home this year. That Nebraska team defensively does not look good. We were talking last week that we were concerned about their defense, and then against Wisconsin, they didn't give us any reason to believe in them now. I'm not so sure that they can hold this Michigan team below 35-40-something. That could be enough. So Michigan could end up being the surprise team out of the Big Ten. I thought that these early games weren't that great of an indicator, but I'm starting to believe that in Big Ten play, they're going to make a big difference.
Absolutely, and you know, the road gets tougher for them, and one of the teams at the end is going to be Illinois, and it's important, I think, that we talk about Illinois because they haven't been on a whole lot of people's radar, and for good reason in many ways. I mean, Illinois is another one of those teams over the last few years that you want to see that they've turned a corner, and they never can, and like Clemson, is this the year that Illinois starts to believe that they're going to turn the corner? They're a very intriguing team because they've played well so far, and if you look inside the numbers, it reveals the story of why they've played so well. This Ron Zook team now leads the Big Ten in sacks with 17, which is really impressive when you consider that they lost two studs to the NFL last year in Corey Legion and Martez Wilson, and they're back now reloaded, and what I'm struck by is how many free rushers they're getting to the quarterback out of their packages on defense. This is a very creative defensive team that plays really well at home, and they are getting free rushes at will on teams, and if that continues, they're going to cause havoc in the Big Ten.
You mentioned that they play well at home, and they get all of their toughest games remaining at home.
Right.
They get the Michigan game at home, they get the Ohio State game at home, and the Wisconsin game at home.
Yeah.
That's the big one. I don't know if this team has the talent to beat Wisconsin, but if they're going to, it's going to be at home. And if you're going to beat Wisconsin, you're going to have to get players into the backfield,
yeah.
And they have the tools to do it.
They play well at home. They've got a true dual-threat quarterback in Nathan Shielhouse. They've got a pounding running back with that aggressive style that you like out of a Big Ten running back in Jason Ford. And now they have a playmaker who's emerged at wide receiver in A.J. Jenkins. So, like you said, every game that matters down the stretch is going to be at home. So you have to feel good if you're Illinois about what the opportunity you have in front of you is.
At Indiana, at Purdue, at Minnesota, I can't imagine they lose any of those on their worst day.
Yeah.
At Penn State's really the only borderline game
right.
that you could see them losing. But very interesting set of teams here that it would take some things to shake out for them to jump up ahead of some of the teams that are currently in the top 5 to 10. But all of them can't be ignored, especially in the Big Ten, where you have that Big Ten championship game where, well, Illinois is going to have a chance to beat Wisconsin in the regular season. Michigan would have a chance to beat them in the Big Ten championship, assuming everything shook out that way. Looking ahead at the schedules and just what you like about these four teams, who would you say has the best chance of running the table?
Well, for me, it's not necessarily the easiest road to running the table, but I like this Clemson team a lot. The reason I like Clemson is because what stuck out to me, if Taj Boyd can go 13 for 32 on the road against a team they haven't beat since 1989, and they can still win in a convincing fashion, I don't know at what point I can write that team off. They have flaws. They are still a flawed team. But it's a team that with every week, they have this energetic coach that has them really believing they're going to do some special things. I like all these teams, to be honest. But to me, Clemson's the one I'd go with.
I like all these teams, too. I think Michigan and Illinois, the fact that they have to get through Wisconsin just makes them really tough to pick in this spot because Wisconsin just looks so much better than everybody in the Big Ten right now. I wouldn't be surprised if either of these teams upset Wisconsin when push came to shove, but it's just tough to pick. So you look at those ACC teams, and, you know, I agree on Clemson, but Georgia Tech's path is easier, and the fact that that game is in Georgia Tech, I love the strides that Clemson's defense has taken, but can they stop this Georgia Tech offense?
Yeah, can anybody?
Can anybody? And it would have to be Clemson. I think Georgia Tech can beat this year's version of Virginia Tech,
yeah.
And that Georgia game, that would be interesting. If they top Clemson, it comes down to that rivalry game. That'd be a good one.
But you know what? It's good to have new blood in both conferences. It's good for college football, and I think it's good for both these conferences to have some new emerging programs.
Yeah, because we were kind of talking about how the Big Ten needs teams like this. Mm-hmm. And the ACC, we kind of tend to overlook a bit. So it is nice to see Clemson and Georgia Tech playing the way they're playing. And it should be noted, for the pollsters down the stretch, how good is that Auburn win looking for Clemson?
Absolutely,
now?
A great point.